drunk, you know, they drink, they get drunk every day. That's just what all dads do. And we always lived in military housing. We always lived with other military families. There were a lot of drunk dads. There were a lot of moms that walked around with black eyes and broken arms. You know, it was just not a big deal. It's just how it was. And again, that was my take. That's just how it goes down. And my dad was a very, very angry drunk. When I was a little kid, I used to wonder why someone would go to all the trouble to marry somebody and, you know, and have children just to make everybody feel bad about who they were and yell at them and hurt them and scream at them. I just never could quite, there was no amount of logic that I could ever figure out what that was all about. And like I say, my dad was just this really, really angry man. And I don't know why, but when he drank, he's just angry. And he didn't like having girl children. And, you know, my mom had me, then a year later, my sister Lucy, and 4 years later, my sister Kathy. And as the girls kept coming, my dad kept getting more pissed and more pissed and more pissed. And he made it really clear to us that we were insignificant, you know, and girl children were totally useless. They meant nothing. And what I've learned in Al-Anon that I am so grateful for today is that I got a lot of misinformation from a man who just had a lot of misinformation. But that was just the kind of person that he was, and he was very physically abusive, but he was even more so, it was the verbal abuse, you know. It was like I say, my dad was a master sergeant. He pretty much tear us down as little tiny kids, and just this really horrible guy to be around. And my very first emotion as a child was fear. The very first incident I remember in my life was my dad just screaming and yelling and hitting me. That's my very first emotion on this planet. You know, again, and this is how I get affected by the disease of alcoholism, and I'm not even the person that's drinking, but right out of the gate, that's starting to happen for me. And when I was really new in Al-Anon, I went to lots of open meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. I still do. I love AA. I really and truly do. And they say, it says in our Al-Anon literature that we should learn all we can about the disease of alcoholism. And I know no better place to learn that than in open meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember one of those very first speaker meetings that I went to. The AA speaker that night, he talked about alcoholism, the family disease. That was his whole talk. And he described alcoholism, the family disease, as having a rhinoceros in your living room, but everybody pretends it's a coffee table. And if I have to describe the house that I grew up in, boy, that's the house that I grew up in. You know, because, you know, in our house, you just don't ever talk about it. You just don't. But my mom would get to where she would tell where my dad was going to have his alcoholic explosion, and that wasn't so hard because he had one like every night. But, you know, but we'd be at the dinner table, and my mom could never say to us kids, okay, nobody talk, nobody do anything, your dad's ready to blow, you know, because then he would, of course, blow. So if you grow up in an alcoholic home, you know the first thing that goes out of the window is any form of verbal communication whatsoever. So my mom would speak to us facially. You know, so if you're sitting at the dinner table and, you know, and mom's like, you know, I mean, that has meaning. And if you grew up in an alcoholic home, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, so we would know, just stare at your plate. Don't look up. Do nothing. Try not to breathe if you can help it. You know, but sure enough, you know, you got four kids at the table. Somebody's going to scrape their knife on their plate. You know, it would be some really minor infraction. And my dad would go nuts. And then, you know, and every dinner would go flying, everybody get a beating, everybody has to go to bed, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, my mom, the kids, the dog, it's just the way it goes down in our house. You know, and then the next morning I get up and I go down the hallway to go in the kitchen to get breakfast because I got to go to school, and there's my dad at the breakfast table drinking his breakfast beer. And you walk in the kitchen and it's good morning, what do you want for breakfast? And no one ever says, gee, Dad, what was that about last night? Gee whiz, Dad, how come you had to hit everybody? How come you had to break everything? You know, because you just hope that the rhinoceros goes, you know, goes back to being a coffee table because you hope today will be different. And that's the deal about growing up in an alcoholic home. You just keep hoping that today will be the day that it'll be different. You know, and we were raised with a lot of discipline, a lot of military stuff. I mean, as little kids, we had footlockers at the end of our beds. We had little army bunk beds. We had army blankets on our army bunk beds. You know, and the reason we had all that army stuff is because my dad stole all that crap from the army, you know, because he just was he's just a master sergeant, you know, salary with four kids and stuff. So we had, you know, and I loved all of that. I loved the discipline. You know, I love having everything organized, where it goes, how it goes. You know, it's a real comfort for me. I just, you know, my purse, I have compartments. I love compartments, you know, because everything is where I want it to be. And, you know, because it's some sort of calmness, some sort of, you know, organization in the chaotic world of growing up in alcoholism or whatever it is. And I remember one time I was at the airport and they kept changing gates for my plane and I was getting pissed off because it's like poor organization on their part. It was really upsetting me.